Lecture 11, Being Myself and Having Fun. That seems like a familiar topic. I was just going over a software program, and the software program is very interesting. It will speak anything that you have. You give it a book, it'll speak the book. You give it a magazine, it'll speak the magazine. You type some words on it, and it'll speak what you type. Whatever you have, it'll read it directly to you and read it to you over 99% correct. Very amazing, very beautiful, very wonderful. And I was just playing with it, entering it into it. Plus, along with the program comes the fact that you can just go to any news broadcast, you know, any newspaper or magazine, and choose an article from there, and then it'll read the article to you while you're having your coffee or doing anything else that you want done. And then, by accident, I happened to notice there's a little down corner that said translations. I said, translations, you know. And so I looked at that, and it said translations, and I pressed the button, French, Italian, German, anything. And it says, rough translations. There probably is a fine translation too, you know. But it's a rough translation. Now, wouldn't that be interesting for me to have Rosalie's letter and just lay it on there and have it translated for me in general? And I would get the general idea of what she's talking about, which is all I ever get anyhow, of any of the things that come. And wouldn't that be fine? And then, when you are taking this and you are speaking onto this web file, I think there's a possibility of having instant translation while you're doing it. So if Jerome was listening, he could listen to an instant translation of whatever I was saying in the rough or the fine translation, which would be quite fascinating, wouldn't it? Now, what's to come from this and how it's to come? It's just a $50 program, but it's a really great program. Nolan Harder had it, and I thought that'd be something very fascinating to look into. And I'm looking into it. So we'll see what comes. I just got the discs the other day, and I'm downloading them today. And they never download exactly like they're supposed to. You're supposed to just press run and auto download, and then it asks you questions. Imagine that, ask you questions. Wants to know what's going on. But that's being yourself and having fun. Irene had a real good conversation with us. With us, how about that? I'm a mutual, a multiple person. Irene and I had a good conversation together. And we talked about a lot of wonderful things. And her question is like your question. How do you introspect? How do you get into introspection? And how do you accomplish anything from it? And when you get into introspection, how do you know what you're hearing? Well, we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But let's start out now with being ourselves, or being myself, and having fun. Being yourself and having fun, let's just be myself, and you think of it being yourself. Being myself and having fun, the first thing that I keep in mind is that I don't make comparisons. I don't compare myself to anybody else. See, when you're having fun, for instance, you're down on the beach and you're playing in the sand and you're building a sandcastle. Here you are, a mature adult building a sandcastle. What silliness, what craziness is this? You know, don't you have anything better to do? And of course, you're an artist and you build that sandcastle. And the people come along and say, wow. And they take pictures of it and they say, golly, that is beautiful. That is architecturally magnificent. And then a little kid comes along and kicks it and knocks it down. And you think to yourself, okay, that was nice. We had fun. Total release. Now, could you do that? Could you say, okay, no problem? After you had worked hours, maybe days, having a guard around to make sure that the dogs didn't run over and urinate on it or anything like that. So, and could you imagine that? And then just looking at it for yourself and enjoying it, and then some kid comes along, or maybe he's chasing a ball, I got it, flutch right down top of your castle, you know, not meaningfully, but everything happens by chance, doesn't it? I mean, everything happens on purpose. Nothing happens by chance. Think of that. Could you do that? Could you be unemotionally attached to what your creation is? If you can be unemotionally attached to your creation, you are in introspection. Introspection is when you are revealing from within you all the magic that you are, all the fun that you are, all the imagination, the wild, wild dreams that you have. That's introspection. Now, there are no comparisons. You don't compare to anything. You don't say, oh, golly, look at that guy's castle down there and look at mine. He has beautiful turrets. I have a beautiful general structure. His general structure looks like it's going to fall apart. My turrets are really ideal and beautiful, but my general structure just lacks a little bit. See, what is it? Whenever we try to compare something, we get into trouble. We get into trouble because we have nothing with which to compare. Think of that. You have nothing with which to compare. If I compare myself to John, and I say, John is tall and handsome and slim and vital and dynamic and young and these things. So, when I was John's age, I was tall and handsome and young and vital and slim and fantastic and all those things too. And now that I am 2 years older, or is it younger? 2 years younger, I still am tall, fantastic, and wonderful in every possible way. You see, there's no comparison. You can't compare what John is, was, or anything, or what I is, was. It's only what we're doing right now. Who are we right now? What are we living right now? What are we expressing right now? What is our life right now? It's not in comparison to anything in the past. Right now, each of you has behind you all of the glorious experiences that your life has been. Each of you, no matter how old you are or how young you are. You have all the glorious experiences behind you. And each of you have ahead of you all the glorious and wonderful experiences that are ahead of you. But the experiences that are ahead of you are of no value. You're going to be crowned king next Wednesday. But until then, you're not the king. You are being dethroned. You're being upstaged by your son who is going to take over as king. But until next Wednesday, he's not taking over as king. You're still the king. And so you're going to do all the things that a king does, but not in a quick hurry, just things that you would normally do in a normal day-to-day activity without comparing yourself. And when your son gets in there, you're going to go fishing. You're going to go out and travel the world. You're going to go out and just have fun and be yourself. Why are you going to do that? Because you don't want to compare your work with your son's. True, you offer your son your advice and suggestions whenever he wants it, but you don't get in there and say, now look, son, I wouldn't do it that way. That's not the intelligent way. Oh, hey, you can't do that. You can't. Dad, I'm the king now. Move it. Out. You know. We have to let go. It's like when being president. When you're the president of a company, and then a new president comes in, and the old president hangs around to show the new president what to do, it's hell. It's disgusting. And the new president has all sorts of ideas and doesn't want to shake the boat too much as long as the old president's around. But if the old president had died, fortunately, or if the old president had shipped out of town or was fired or was kicked out and no longer had a valid position, then that would be a totally different thing, wouldn't it? The new president could go in and do whatever they want to do. What is it that many people do? In the recent year, the stock market has taken some interesting turns. And along with that, the infusion of women into high places in great corporations has taken great places. And interestingly enough, I don't recall any of the women being the cause of their company to fall. Many of the men were the cause of their company to fall by bad management, but I don't recall any of the women being listed as being the cause for their company to fall. That's an interesting point. We may hear more on that later. But think about it. Every person who goes in and takes over a business has to go in and be themselves. They cannot compare themselves to what has happened in the past or what has happened, what may happen in the future. They can only do in the now whatever it is they feel like doing. And this is what we must do. And any previous, well, look at the President of the United States. My goodness sakes. Here, the President of the United States goes out and the new president comes in on the same day. And the old president says, adios. And the new president says, hi-ho. And everything is in order. But the old president has told the new president as much as he could about the operation of the office, and then he leaves. Now, the new president is expected to follow protocol, which is the procedure for the president operating by the rules and regulations of the United States of America, by the federal law, the federal government, by the state legislature, I mean, by the national legislature and all those things. He has all of those things which govern how he has to act. Okay? So no president can ever tell another president how to act. Now, Clinton was a great intellectual genius and a magnificent man in many, many ways. But he had a charisma and he had a genius of looking at things that no other president could ever have. Harry Truman, he had an attitude toward being the president that none other could ever have had. None of them would want to have his innocent way of looking at things because they like to feel that they're sophisticated. They've arrived at the highest office in the land because they're great. But you see, they cannot do it by comparison. One president has a great successful regime, and another president, it falls down by the side. Now, did it fall down by the side because the previous president had done a poor job and it was just catching up with it now? Yeah, that's the truth. Or did the previous president do such a poor job that he was really working hard and he was finally getting it over the hump and they didn't re-elect him, and so the new president comes in and takes all the glory for what the previous president had done? That's oftentimes is the truth. But you cannot compare. You cannot compare. Because the new president might not take advantage of all the things the previous president had done, and so therefore he would really be working on his own, which is what we always do. Now, ours is not to judge. Ours is not to compare. Ours is just to find all of our virtues and fly with them, live with them, enjoy them, make our virtues into the most wonderful thing that we could ever have in the entire universe. And that's true. That's true. We make our universe the most wonderful thing we could ever have. And how do we do it? We do it by being ourselves and having fun. Nothing else. We don't try to emulate anyone else. We don't try to pretend that we are somebody else. We are ourselves. But you won't give up, will you? You won't give up. You're always trying to be like somebody else. You're always trying to say, what is the new fashion? Irene, what is the new fashion this year? And the answer is very clear. I want to hear it from you. The answer is, the new fashion is?
To be myself and have fun.
The new fashion is what I am wearing. Right? Be yourself and have fun, surely. But what you are wearing is the new fashion. And they'll say, well, that's not what Paris says. Well, Paris hasn't caught up with it yet. They'll catch up with it. The new fashion is what I am wearing. So, you follow that? Now, I went down to Africa and Europe and many other places, and I wore my sandals and my short pants and my slip-over shirt, and people said, my God, here he is a professor, university speaker, and he's speaking to us, you know, and we're all dressed up so fine, and he's dressed up so casual. What is this, you know? And then they listened to me, and they forgot what I wore. They forgot all about what I wore. When I was down in Africa, all these guys were wearing these business suits, heavy business suits. My goodness. Every time you give them a hug, you're like squeezing out a sponge. Water, water everywhere. But wonderful. Loved them. And I just wore my shirt and trousers and a pair of shoes. And I was so comfortable and so happy. I would have liked to have my shorts on, but Ellen sort of, oh, yes, yes, yes. Ellen said, don't you think we should dress up for this? Don't you think we should put our suit on? Don't you think we should do these things? You know? And she says, now, I've taken out your jacket for the ordination, and it's all nicely ironed for you, and it's all nicely set up. Yeah, 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 yeah. See, now she remembers. But, you see, I would have gone out there naked and been perfectly happy, and nobody would have paid any attention to the girl who's getting ordained. They'd look at me. But, you see, you set your own fashion. When you like yourself, those things don't bother you. When you like yourself, those things never disturb you. You are always at peace with yourself. When you like yourself, you do what pleases you. Now, sometimes it pleases you to have everybody like what you're doing, and so then you wear something that you think they'll like, but they don't like it. Can you imagine two women coming to a beautiful activity with the same dress, the same dramatic, dynamic, forceful dress, and one of them is you? Now, you think you're making friends with that woman? And do you think the other women are talking about you girls? My goodness, yes. Which one of you would be the first to go in and change? Interesting, huh? So, what you do is you go in and you say, hey, look, let's even this up. I'll take your blouse, you take my whatever, this, and then we'll change around and turn it inside out and go right side forward, and we'll come up with two unique dresses. And so we look like we're each doing our own thing. And, of course, the other lady says, okay with me, I don't really care. I have my swimming suit on under here. I plan to go swimming later on. Oh, then just wear that. But if I do that, then nobody will stay for the rest of the program. They'll all follow me because I'm such a beautiful woman. You see, like yourself. Be yourself. Have fun. You don't care what other people think. You don't care at all what other people think. If you care what other people think, then you've got problems. If you care what other people think, then you've got something else on your mind than yourself. You want to be yourself and have fun. Be yourself and have fun. It's a wonderful thing. If you're not yourself and having fun, then what's the use of living? What's the use of doing anything? We'll move along here on these other 2 points. I live my life to my maximum. I live life to my maximum. Now, what does that mean, to live life to my maximum? That means whatever my dreams are, I go for them. Whatever my dreams, and I may change my dreams in a minute, in an hour, in a day, in a year. It doesn't matter. But whatever my dreams are, I go for them. And I follow them. And I seek out my dreams, which we'll do in just a minute. I seek out my dreams. I seek out who I am, what I am, where I am. And then I start to live it. And I don't care what anybody says. I live it. And I have a lot of fun. Each of you have that same opportunity, the same possibility to live who you are, be who you are, and have a lot of fun. Do you want to do that? Do you want to be yourself and have fun?
Yes.
You say yes, but still, whenever it goes against society, you right away say, oops, I better do this, I better do that. Oh, maybe there's a person out there, I better put a blouse on before I go to the back door, you know. You're still tied into humanity and to the rules of society. Is this your house? Can you be as you wish in your house? If somebody comes to your door, is that their fault or your fault? Their fault. So, you, huh? What's that?
That's not, it's not their fault. It's just as much my fault, if you want to say fault.
Well, what you're saying is she caused it.
It's the creator of my world, yeah.
And so, in other words, somebody coming to the door and finding you in your tennis shorts, that's your fault.
It's my creation.
And that's a good thing to create, huh?
stand up for it.
Oh, is that what you do? And you don't care. You stand up for it and you just be yourself and have fun. Okay, let's see what we can create. Be careful. Be careful what you pretend you're going to do, because you might have the opportunity, in fact, to do the very things that you're sort of pretending. This is what life's all about. This is what this game is all about. We're playing here, too. So be careful. Everything I do makes me happy. Everything I do makes me happy. And that's what we want to really keep in mind. Be yourself and have fun. Everything I do makes me happy. Does everything you do make you happy? Does it? Everything? If you can say that categorically, that's beautiful. Christina, does everything you do make you happy? I like that sort of tongue-in-cheek. Yes. Inga, does everything you do make you happy?
Sometimes not.
Go sit in the corner. No, Inga, this is a class. This is a school. I'm teaching you 2 times 2 is 4. And for you to say 2 times 2 is not 4, when I teach you 2 times 2 is 4, you're not paying attention to the lessons of the class. And so when I say, does everything you do make you happy, you must say yes or go take another class. You're probably ready for a different class that's working on this topic. But take charge of yourself. Be aware that everything you do... I'm sorry?
I am aware.
You're aware of what?
What you say.
Of what I said?
Yes, it's already true since a long time. What?
If that is true, Inga, why did you say sometimes? Why did you say all the time? See, if you're aware, then the answer must always be there. Inga? Someone is hurt. What do you say?
Whole and perfect.
Why?
Because I'm whole and perfect.
Yes, but you say it because that's what you say always.
Yes.
Regardless of the circumstances, you say you're whole and perfect. And you say it with all of your enthusiasm and joy. Now, are you a success in everything you do?
Yes, I am a success.
Oh, you're getting there. You're doing beautiful. I'm proud of you. John, how are you doing?
I'm whole and perfect.
You're whole and perfect. That's great. Okay, Sylvia, how are you?
Fantastic.
You're fantastic, huh? Okay. If you're fantastic, be careful. Because a fantastic person is very special. A fantastic person really likes himself and really has fun. A fantastic person doesn't know anything but having fun. You know that?
Yes.
And you're ready for that?
Yes.
You are ready that in all of your life, from this instant on, you will always find that your fantastic self is at work. You'll always find that your creation is magnificent and that every person you create in your world is magnificent.
Yes.
And keep at it there. Stefan?
Yes.
Why are you?
Because I am. I created myself.
My question is more, Stefan, who are you? What are you? And I merely asked, why are you? Which is, you're going to give me the answer, I am fantastic because I'm great.
I'm fantastic because I'm great.
That's a good start. And what else?
I'm fantastic because I'm excellent.
Yeah. Go on. I mean, yeah, play the game.
Because I have a link to my divine self. And I listen to my divine self and I let all the magic come out.
You're getting started. You're getting warm. See, this is what you say. Why can I say I'm God? And then you just start really flowing. Did you want to flow some more? It's a good start. Okay, Irene. You are a master of introspection. And as a master of introspection, how do you do your introspection?
Excellent.
Yes, excellent. You do your introspection by acting the part of listening within and hearing all of the beautiful things your divine inner self has to tell you about yourself. And sometimes it's just a little bit, immodest. It's a little, it makes me feel red in the face, you know, embarrassed, because there's so much good about you. You know the word I'm trying to look for there?
Yes.
And do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
When you listen within, your divine tells you so many fantastic things about you that you are embarrassed for a moment, that your divine should only find beauty and goodness and harmony and peace and love and right action and truth in you and so forth. And Anita just loves translating all those words. But they're fun. Now, that is a step, and we'll go into it in a minute. Okay? All right. Gertrude, what can we say about you?
I am good and very good in all what I do.
I am good and very good all the time. When did you start that? Why didn't you say 100 years ago, 1,000,000 years ago, or anything else like that? Why did you say now?
Because it exists only the now.
The now is the only time there is? That makes sense, doesn't it? She got a good head on her shoulders, doesn't she? Mm-hmm. Anita.
Yeah.
What about you? How do you express your divine inner self? That's good. Tell the man. You did.
Yeah.
You understand? And Jerome, why are you so fantastic?
Because I am simply fantastic.
And when did you learn that you are simply fantastic? That's a deep thought. Did you learn it now, or yesterday, or when?
Now.
Oh. You take after your grossie, don't you? Two brilliant minds coming out of one family. My goodness. But now. And now is the only time there is, isn't it? Okay, now. We've touched these things here, being myself and having fun, no comparison. I find all my virtues. I live to my maximum. Everything I do makes me happy. All right, let's go beyond that now. How do we introspect? How do we introspect? Okay, introspection means listening within. We have learned in the three-hour meditation, which all of you have participated in to some degree or other. I kind of think it's the other, but to some degree or other, in which the first hour you say what?
I am God, God I am.
I am God, God I am. The second hour you say?
Why can I say I am God?
Second hour you say, why can I say I am God? And the third hour?
Listen.
The third hour you listen. To what?
To the divine within me.
To the divine within you. Okay, so you're getting ready for the third hour. You said, I am God. You said why you can say I am God. And you think you're really on track. you're really in business. And then you become quiet, peaceful, you listen within, and the voice within says, are you sure you turned off the stove? Are you sure you put the food in the refrigerator after you finished putting lunch away? Are you sure that you took all the clothes out of the washing? I bet if you go into the washer or dryer, you'll find some socks in there that you missed. And a lot of beautiful, important things like that come right up in your mind. Yeah. It comes right up in your mind, and you say, this is God talking to me? And you have to agree. God is the only one that talks through your introspection. You don't say a thing. So that's God talking to you. And you think to yourself, well, God, it's not the way I expected to hear from you, but go on, I'm listening. I got an hour I've dedicated to listening to you. So then you go on and you listen. And as you listen, all sorts of dumb things come up. You consider them dumb, at least. Things that say to you that you're not doing very well. Things that say to you other people are more handsome or beautiful than you are. Things that say to you that you should have known that your slip was showing. You should have known that you had a problem. You should have known that the little scab that you had on the back of your calf, that the tape fell off and it was bleeding down your leg as you walked along the street, and nobody said anything to you about it, but you were leaving little drops of blood behind. And you think, my goodness sakes. When you found out about it, you quickly cleaned it off and put a fresh bandage on. But meanwhile, you saw this trail of blood going along the street, and you thought, my goodness, what is going on here? You remember that. You remember that as something that you were careless about, or something you were stupid about. And you weren't stupid or careless. But these things come up. Then another thing comes up, like your first driver's test, you know. Your first driver's test was when you took it and got your driver's license, and how the policeman said, I'm not sure I want to ride with you. You look a little nervous. And, of course, you were nervous, but you did all right. But you were still afraid. You were afraid you wouldn't do everything right, that you wouldn't pass the test, but you did. You see, the whole thing here is just one thing, and that is, let go these mundane things that seemingly have nothing of value. All they are is, Ingeborg, what is that stuff that's in the packages that keeps it from rumbling around?
Foam stuff.
Foam stuff. Okay. I thought maybe you had its classical name. But this foam stuff is there. And that foam stuff keeps the chips and the computer and other things from rumbling around in a box or being jogged in such a way that it might upset it. Well, that foam stuff is the stuff that's coming out of you. It's that outer stuff that's packed around your sacred inner self. The sacred inner self that is only revealed to those who are sincerely interested in finding it. And so you let this foam stuff come out. And of course, if you're wise, you keep a nice big plastic bag there to catch it so that you can, you know, easily take it and put it away, or maybe use it again too. But out it comes. All these ideas, turn off the washing machine, you know, set the timer on this and that. Go get some gas for the car. Every time you are driving by the gas station, you think you get it from the next one. Get it from the first one. And see, all these things come in your mind. Then all the foam is getting out. Pretty soon all the foam is getting out. A piece will pop up here and there that you hadn't expected. But all the foam is getting out. And then you're getting down to the basics. You're getting down to the object itself. You're getting down to your divine. And as you get down to your divine, then you begin to say to yourself, I am that I am. I know that I know. All the knowledge of the universe is mine. All of the experiences of the universe are mine. I am that I am. And you say that again and again and again with all your heart and all your soul and all your being. And as you say it, the phone is as though it were never there. It's gone. It's away. And this inner self of you fills up to encompass your entire inner being. It's an illusion, of course, because it is not a real thing. It is a concept. But it seems to fill up to include your entire inner being. And so that you're not having any room for foam anymore, for things that are of no account. And then it begins to tell you who you are. It begins to say to you, now, if you will take this idea and write it down, it's 2 times 2 plus 39 divided by 4, and da 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 da. And this is one of the problems that you've been working on how to describe the indescribable. And you think, oh boy, is this really true? Is this really true that I can describe the indescribable? And you write it down. Your divine is telling you this formula, and your divine is the universal consciousness telling you what you want to know. Other people have asked for it too, and they have received it too, but they haven't used it because they didn't believe in it. It sounded too simple. And so away they went. They did nothing with it. But now you're faced with it. You're listening to your divine within, and it's revealing this wonderful, magical thing to you. You're writing it down, and you're presenting it to yourself. And you put it on the drawing board to see whether it'll fly. And so you check it out thoroughly this way, you check it out that way. You don't tell anybody about it. You just listen in your heart. And then once you have it all clear in your heart, exactly what it means to you, then you can go out and tell other people about it. And other people will tell you you're wrong. Or they'll say, wow, what great information. Or they'll tell you you're wrong. Now, what difference does it make whether they tell you you're wrong or whether they say it's great information? You see, if you're touched, then you're making comparisons. You're judging. If you're touched, you're not really living your awareness of who you are. You're not really living your awareness that you are the divine. You're not really believing that that's the divine that's speaking to you in there, the divine that's revealing itself to you. You're not really believing that. And this is what the training is to get you to believe, to get you to accept that these are the things that are so fantastic that you want to put these causes in motion in a very beautiful, positive way. But our tendency is, we don't keep at it. We don't keep working at it. Once we have the channel open, we say, oh, that was just a fluke. That was just a happenstance thing that took place. That's not a reality, but it's very much a reality. When I train you in doing the three-hour meditation, and you have not completed the three-hour meditation to the point where you say that you are God, and you're the master, and you're ready to listen intuitively within, you didn't do anything. I chant the three-hour meditation with you. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. And I do that for an hour. And then the second hour I say, why can I say I am God? I can say I am God because God is all there is. God is the sun, the moon, the stars. God is this, God is that. God is me. God created me as itself. And God is in me as itself. God is as much in me as it is in anything else. God is not a quantity. God is a quality. And God is who I am. God is the isness, the allness, and on and on and on. You see, and then that hour ends. And then the next hour comes where you sit quietly and listen. You can walk around if you wish, but it's better if you sit quietly and listen. And if you sit quietly and listen, the voice will speak to you. If you walk around, you're going to have to pay attention to where you're putting your feet. You're going to have to pay attention to where you're walking and what you're wearing so that you're always in proper order for wherever you are. But if you want to do that, go right ahead. It'll slow down your procedure, or maybe it'll speed it up. It all depends on you. And when you're sitting down and listening to your divine within, you're sitting down listening to God speaking to you, God speaking to God, then beautiful music begins to play. And I don't mean music that you would understand, but you have a harmony within you, you have a joy within you, you have a peace within you that makes you feel so fantastic. Now, how do you get that peace? How do you get that quality of fantasticness in you? How do you get it to express? Really, think about it. How do you get that to express? You're not used to taking it out. You're not used to letting it out. You're not used to letting the divine in you have full sway. You're always just saying, it's back in the corner. And that's true. The divine never pushes itself to the front. It just is there, lying in smiling repose, waiting for our attention to it. So, where's your attention? Is your attention on the divine within you? Is your attention on that inner self? Are you ready to let go and let God? Are you ready to let go of all of these outer things that keep saying to you that you must do things in a certain way? Are you willing to let go of that? See, the more you keep fighting for who you think you are, the more you're pushing yourself away from your divine center. It's just the way it is. The more you claim that you are who you are, the more you push yourself away. I am that I am. That's not enough. I am Herb Byerly. I live at 1101 Far Valley Road in Campo, California. I do this, I do that, I do the other thing. You see, what is all that? What is all that? That's just the relative insisting on having its identity. The relative insisting on having its identity, and we give it to it. We give it to it. And when we give it to it, then it tries to take a hold of us and tries to destroy us. A saying by Mark Twain was that a dog never bites the hand that feeds it. It's too smart. Only man bites the hand that feeds it. And he was referring to the United States as other nations helping other nations of the world, giving them food and giving them substance and so forth to live with. And the first thing they do is turn around and tell the United Nations or the United States or the other countries how terrible they are and how unkind they are and how they should be sending more money and they should be sending more hospitals and books and things like that. You see, we have to be very careful. If we want to enter into our inner self, we have to keep away from any objectiveness that would say to us that we are evil or we're bad. To say that the United Nations, the United States, or other countries are doing bad things by sending money to third world nations. We have to keep away from that. We have to keep away from the idea that people in these third world countries are using the money and the people who live there are not getting it. All those things may be true, but we must keep away from that. We see one thing. We see all of these countries in the world reaping the harvest from the benefits that they get from wherever they get it. And everything goes to the people, for the people, by the people. And the people have these things. You see, be consistent. When you're consistent in your introspection, you say, oh, you talk about world politics and introspection? It's attitude. It's not world politics, it's attitude. What is your attitude? What is your attitude about the people of the world? What is your attitude about the people who need things in the world and who are living in limitation? What's your attitude about that? Is your attitude that they should go and eat cake? Is your attitude that they should go and never more return? That's stupid, isn't it? But that is the attitude of a lot of us, a lot of people, I should say, who feel that they're not their brother's keeper. And of course they're not. What is the greatest blessing that anybody could give to anybody else? A new attitude about themselves. If we had the opportunity to go around the world and in every country touch 100 people and give them a new attitude about themselves, to say that they like themselves, that they're enjoying being themselves and having fun. If we could do that, 100 people in every country of the world, it would be no time at all that every country in the world would be expressing that as their major philosophy. It doesn't matter how many people the country has, whether they have millions or thousands or hundreds. Some countries are kind of small. Some states are kind of small. But introspection is a real viable type of activity. It's something that we put a lot of our attention on. It's something that we can really have a great experience with. And it's not something, you see, you're judging already, and I'm trying to make you judge, but you're judging already when I talk about the economics of the world, when I talk about world politics, when I talk about world governments and misuse and abuse of the funds that are sent around the world. You're judging. If you were not judging, you would say, I see everyone enjoying it. I see them crawling out of the woodwork to take the courses. I see them everywhere wanting to be ordained, wanting to have churches, wanting to have activities that are meaningful to them. See, that's what you say. That's what you say. Not because you want to have people following you or people following our philosophy. It's because, what is our philosophy? Our philosophy is a three-letter word, or a two-letter word, or a one-letter word. Our philosophy is you and me and I. Our philosophy is ourself. And so therefore, if we believe in this philosophy of being ourselves and having fun, we should promulgate it. We should share it with the entire world and let the entire world realize just how wonderful it is, how abundant it is, and how good it is. We have people like Sybil who tells the stories of the various things that happened to her. But Sybil has been in a very violent community, in a very violent time. And the people, the young people, were having a lot of unhappiness with the government and so forth. And they would burn cars and they would push them over and so forth. And right in front of Sybil's office, where her own car was parked, the boys were doing these things. And she looked out the window and she says, I surround you with my pure white light of love. All is in order. She went back in, sat at her desk, and she meant it. She meant it. She went back into her desk, totally relaxed and peaceful, and did her work. And when it was quitting time, she went out, and the boys were still there. All the other cars were destroyed. And she said to them, well, thank you, boys, for taking care of my car. And they said, we didn't take care of your car. Your car took care of itself. Your car was untouchable. You see, she lived it. She wrapped her car in her pure white light of love. And her car was untouchable. They could not touch it. They did not want to touch it. They did not want... Can you believe that? Can you believe that your word can be so powerful that people who are in an emotional terrorist type of rage would not touch it? Yeah. It's true. Think about it. On the plane, the 7-Eleven or 9-11, on the plane thing, if those people had stood up and said, no way, it would have been no way. The plane would have landed without any problem. But we don't learn to stand up for principle. We don't learn to stand up for who we are. And who we are is a divine being. So I suggest to each of us that we more and more and more do the three-hour meditation. We learn to listen within. We learn to prepare ourselves so brilliantly to do the introspection that after a while we don't need the three-hour meditation any longer. We just go right directly into the three-hour meditation. We go right directly into the introspection time because it's a wonderful time. I think that you're ready for that. I think you're ready for that experience, and I think you're ready to know it right now. So let's just take a few minutes and go into the third hour of our introspection, and let's see what you come up with. I've given you a lot of palaver here, a lot of talk about all these things, but let's just take a few minutes and go in there and listen. I'll shut this off, but we'll go in there and listen. Okay, here we go.